Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS, Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning and welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And today, Chris, a real honor, a treat. Pick any word of wonderment that you want. We have back with us today Ralph Martin. Ralph has been a leader in the renewal movements in the church for many years, also the author of many books, articles, and audio albums on contemporary issues in the life of the church and the teachings of the saints. Ralph is currently director of graduate programs in the new evangelization at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit, also an assistant professor of theology, continues to lead the work of Renewal Ministries, which is an organization devoted to Catholic renewal and evangelization. Ralph also hosts a weekly television program called The Choices We Face, and he'll be here in our town the end of March, and we're delighted to have him back on the program. Ralph, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Bruce. Good morning, Chris. Good to be back on the program.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you with us. It was about a year ago that we first talked to you about the Fulfillment of All Desires, the guidebook for the journey to God based on the wisdom of the saints. And Ralph, I have to share with you on a very personal note and to thank you over and over again for this wonderful book. As our listeners know, I was very blessed to be able to participate in a mission trip to Guatemala. And in my prayer, the one book I felt called to take, even though I had little room in my pack, was The Fulfillment of All Desire. And I'm so glad I did, because that turned out to be one of the most transformative experiences of my adult life. And I don't know how I could have processed it all, because it was such a profound spiritual experience for me, if I hadn't had The Fulfillment of All Desire with me. And in a way, I felt like I kind of had you there with me, too.
Well, I'm really, really happy to hear that. I really felt like it could be helpful to people to do the book, and it was helpful to me, and I'm really glad to hear that it has been helpful.
I just want to piggyback on top of that, too, Ralph. And she has the book here with her, and this is one of the most beautifully beat up books that I've ever seen.
It's been all around the world with me. Yeah, it is absolutely wonderful. And I think that's the beauty of this book, and so many people that I know that have opened it up and have prayed with it and have learned from the mystical doctors of the church through your work, that the mystery of God, it can be so much deeper if we open our hearts up in prayer.
Well, you know, Chris, I'm really grateful, just not for these words today, but for the really wonderful endorsement you wrote for the book, which we've used in our newsletter and will continue to use in different ways. Really appreciate it.
And we also appreciate your participation in the Institute for Priestly Formation here, located at Creighton University here in Omaha, because helping to form our priests deep in their spiritual life, it has to be really priority number one for the church, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I mean, so much depends on the solid spiritual life of priests, and it's just really great to be able to be involved with the Institute for Priestly Formation. They're just doing tremendous work in helping seminarians get their life started off right in the seminary, really deeply rooted in Christ and in a life of holiness, and helping priests as well. It's just it's great work, and it's a privilege to be associated with it.
Another one of your works that came out last year that I think is really a quintessential piece for anybody beginning their journey in the spiritual life is Hungry for God, Practical Help and Personal Prayer.
Yeah, that's a book I wrote years ago that I kind of updated recently, and it has helped a lot of people kind of awaken to life in Christ as a Catholic. And in the book, I tell my own story about how I got caught up in confusion when I was at, you know, college at Notre Dame, and just some of the things that helped me really get clear about what it meant to be a Catholic Christian and turn my life back to the Lord and, you know, establish some basic patterns of prayer, things like that. So, yeah, that was exciting when that came out again.
And Ralph, just recently the Pew study came out, and it talked about a really difficult figure that we had to grasp here in the church, particularly that 1 in 10 Americans, they were born into the church, into the Catholic Church, and have now left it. And when I was reading Hungry for God, I noticed that in your own life, you raised a Catholic, but had one of those moments.
Yeah, and that's really one of the reasons why I'm also excited about the work I'm doing at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. You know, a number of years ago, Cardinal Nida, the Archbishop of Detroit, really sensed that something was shifting in our culture, and that something had to change in how we were preparing seminarians to serve as priests, and that we couldn't just train seminarians any longer to just kind of serve the people who showed up in church, but that there were so many now that were falling away that we really needed to train the seminarians about how to look beyond those who are just coming to church to reach out to the strays and the fallen aways. And so that's why he really retitled the seminary. The new motto for Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit is Preparing Heralds for the New Evangelization, just because John Paul II has, you know, made a very bold statement in that document he published for the beginning of the millennium, Novo Millennium in England. He said, Christian society, as we used to know it, is now gone. Mm-hmm. There's no longer that kind of support in society and in culture for living the Christian life. And a lot of our fellow Catholics have really drifted away, and we really need to mount a new effort of re-evangelization or new evangelization.
And what I read in Hungry for God for you was after a very profound experience at a Crucio weekend, and De Caloris, by the way,
because
Bruce and I are Cruciestas.
Yeah.
But what you developed was that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have that. I mean, that is something that is essential, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, before it was a little easier to coast along because sort of the whole environment was, you know, supportive of being a Catholic, and there were more like Catholic neighborhoods, and even when there weren't Catholic neighborhoods, there was like a general support in society and respect for God and the church. And nowadays, that just isn't there. So I think it's calling on Catholics to really get clear about why they're a Catholic and to really get engaged in a personal relationship with the Lord, because it's very hard to coast without support, without that personal relationship. And that really was important for me. Making that Crucio when I was a senior at Notre Dame really just kind of brought it all clear to me about who Christ was and what the church was, and that he was alive, that he was risen, that he was present, that he was truly knocking on the doors of my heart and other people's hearts, and really inviting us to allow him to be the Lord of our life. And that was just really a tremendous mercy that God showed me on that Crucio, and I'm really grateful, and I'm really grateful to be able to help others to kind of discover that same relationship.
And so many of us, when we have that conversion experience, and we have to understand that it's not an end to itself. Conversion isn't something that, you know, you convert and then you're done. But as you're moving towards the Lord, so many of us do studies, we do scripture, but we fail to develop our prayer life as deeply as we will maybe the intellectual aspects of our faith.
Yeah, you know, I think that probably the most important decision I ever made was to, on that Crucio, was just to humble myself and admit that I needed God and I was a sinner, and, you know, the Lord was the Lord and I wasn't, just to really turn my life over to him. But a few weeks later, I feel like I made the second most important decision I've ever made in my life, and that was to take some time each day for personal prayer. And I knew that what really drew me to the church was the person of Christ, and it wasn't the stained glass windows or whatever, but it was really him. And I knew that in order to kind of keep that relationship alive and growing, I needed to actually do something about it. So I decided to take some time each day for personal prayer. And, you know, golly, that's been a long time ago, and I haven't been 100% faithful by any means, but despite having a whole number of sleepy prayer times and distracted prayer times and prayer times where I've looking at my watch and occasionally skip prayer times, that decision to try as best I could each day to spend some more time with the Lord in prayer has been really, really important in allowing the Lord to keep a hold of me. And just showing up for prayer, even when it's distracted or sleepy, is already a prayer. It's already telling the Lord, Lord, I want you, and I want to be in relationship with you, and I want to stay with you, and I want to grow in you. And that really is important. I do talk about that in the book, Hungry for God, like you mentioned.
Another thing that when I read it, all of a sudden it just clicked, because this was my experience anyway, when you talk about how prayer is difficult for many because they've never had the truth about God's fatherhood.
Yeah, it's just there's so many wonderful dimensions to Catholic life, and one of them is just to know that we really can have a relationship with the Trinity. And this is something that the Institute for Priestly Formation is really so strong on. They're always talking about Trinitarian union, and it can sound like just a theological concept, but what it's really pointing to is that God really is our Father, and despite our experience is of imperfect human fathers or no human fathers that we know, or even, you know, terrible things, that God the Father really has a healing love for us and really tenderly cares for us as sons and daughters, and really does say to us, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, whom I'm well pleased. And just opening up to the healing love of God the Father is something that Jesus really very much wants to share with us. He really wants us to know the love with which he's loved and really share it with us.
You're listening to Spirit Mornings here at Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS, with Bruce McGregor and Chris McGregor. On the program this morning, we're joined by Ralph Martin.
Ralph, when we begin to grow in our spiritual life, we begin to experience things that for many of us we may have never experienced before, peaks and valleys, and just as with any relationship. And it's difficult for us to discern if we don't have someone guiding us.
Yeah, and, you know, St. Francis de Sales says that one of the most important things we can do is to have a spiritual friend, either a spiritual director or a mature brother or sister in Christ who has more experience and more knowledge than us that can really help guide us. And I know for me, it's been helpful. I've been in a men's group for the last number of years, ever since I made the Crucio, and just being able to get together every couple of weeks with a group of men and share how my life is going and how prayer is going and how I'm doing as a husband and father has been really helpful. And then in the last number of years, I've been able to have a spiritual director, and I know that isn't possible for everybody, but that's really been helpful too. And in fact, it's, you know, Father John Horn out there in Creighton. We talk on the phone, you know, once a month and do some spiritual direction that way. But also books can help, you know, like Father Dubay, who's a, you know, a great spiritual writer, says, you know, the ideal is to have somebody you can talk to, but, you know, there's really good books out there. Father Dubay's books, I think, to fulfill in all desire, could help like that as a way of really accessing the wisdom in the church that can help us and guide us.
Oh, and we have those moments of that conversion and that feeling of just wonderful consolation that the Lord will bless us with. So when those periods come when we experience a dryness, or even that we're faced with our own sinfulness, boy, that for many that can be a discouragement towards prayer.
It is, you know, and one of the first challenges is coming to grips with the fact that our emotions kind of fluctuate, and they kind of fluctuate for all different kinds of reasons, and to really kind of get clear that what this is primarily about is faith, and that God has given us this most awesome gift of understanding and seeing and believing that Jesus is really the Lord, and the Catholic Church is the church that he founded, and that faith is something that's deeper than the fluctuation of emotions, and we just need to really kind of, you know, value and treasure the reality of the faith that God has given us, and know that that's based on some really objective realities and facts. And whether we feel close on a particular day or feel God's love on a particular day, the fact is he does love us, the fact is he's alive, the fact is he's guiding our life. And learning how to persevere through times of dryness is one of the things that really helps us grow in stability and grow in fortitude. And so the Lord permits these fluctuations of emotion. Sometimes he even purposely arranges for us to have these times of dryness, what John of the Cross may call purifying dryness or dark night, and in order to give us a chance to go deeper in the purity of faith, hope, and love.
In the last maybe decade or more, there has been a real resurgence in the teaching of the Church Fathers, that patristic gift that we have of the experience of the early church, and it has really helped many to come to the church, come to the full communion of the Catholic Church. I think with what you have really been inspired, if I may be so bold to suggest, is that renewal in our appreciation and love for the doctors of the church, and in particular the mystical doctors of the church.
Yeah, you know, one of the, it really started off really personally, like I knew that there was real depth in some of these doctrines of the church, and after I made the Crucio, I tried to read something from John on the Cross, and to tell you the truth, I just really couldn't quite get what was going on there and put it down. And then about 25 years later, I was taking a class at the seminary in Detroit and had to read another book of John on the Cross, and this time just the Lord, I think, just decided that it was time for me to understand this. I was ready for it, and he really, really gave me a lot of insight into what was going on. It really helped me a lot personally, and gee, are there other people like this? And I found out he was one of the 33 doctors of the church, and I also found out that some of the doctors of the church were recognized by the church because of their expertise in, like, scripture, or some in countering heresy and apologetics, and some in moral theology or systematic theology, like Thomas Aquinas. So I found out that some of them were recognized as doctors by the church because they had a tremendous insight into the spiritual journey, about how you really get from baptism to the beatific vision. And I really wanted to know everything I could possibly know about how to cooperate with the grace of God in this life so that I can say yes to the Lord's call to holiness. And so one by one, I began to study these different doctors of the church who were chosen because of their expertise in the spiritual journey. And it's just been tremendously helpful to me, and I've been sharing it with others, and that's how the book eventually got written. And I'm just grateful for what God has done in giving us these teachers, and also help me understand what's going on and explain it to others in a way that can be helpful also.
What an affirmation it must have been for you to experience the teachings of John Paul.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was amazing when he published that Novo Millennio Aniente document on January 6, 2001. He called the whole church to reconnect with the mystical tradition, and he mentioned specifically Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, and then Therese and Catherine of Siena, and I felt like, wow, you know, the Holy Spirit's really, really moving us all in this direction. I felt really, really encouraged and excited that maybe the Lord had prepared me to be able to help people respond to this call, you know, to reconnect with the mystical tradition.
I think that's the beauty of the fulfillment of all desires, because, again, so many people would love the opportunity to be able to have one-on-one spiritual direction with someone who knows the Lord and help can guide them through, but that's not always available to everyone.
Yeah, and these are some of the greatest teachers that the church has. Like, this isn't my wisdom in this book. It's really being a servant of the wisdom that God's given to the church through these tremendous saints and doctors. And you know, I kind of figured, hey, life is short, you know, let's stop and start at the top. You know, there's hundreds of great spiritual writers, but let's really see what the ones that the church recognizes the greatest really are saying, and spend our time there at least to begin with. And so that was the principle of selection. Let's start at the top. You know, I don't know, I'm for the rest of our life, but let's get the best we have to start with.
Well, another thing you've been so involved in, Ralph, are men's conferences throughout the country. And it's not difficult to see if you're a man or if you're working in a parish and you want to try to offer something for men. You go to all the publishers, you go to all the places, and you're looking, and there's just not very much for the Catholic male right now.
One really encouraging thing is the proliferation of Catholic men's conferences around the country and Catholic women's conferences, like you know, I'm here in the Boston area right now, and there's a lot of talk about the upcoming men's and women's conferences that are coming up in April, and then same thing in Detroit. And I just spoke to a Catholic men's breakfast Saturday morning in Connecticut on my way here to Boston, and it really is encouraging to see Catholic men come together and recognize the need for support and help with one another and following the Lord as Catholic men. And you know, this really is happening all over the country. We had the very first Catholic men's conference in the Diocese of Lansing just a few weeks ago, and 1,000 men came, you know, for the very first conference, which was really amazing. You know, the organizers were, you know, astounded, couldn't fit everybody.
Wow. I think that because they're really looking for examples of that spiritual fatherhood, whether they have children or not, I mean, it is part of what it is to be male.
Yeah, it really is, and there has been a way in which it has been possible for men to feel like they're kind of spectators, kind of watching women follow the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women do seem to be more spiritual, sensitive and responsive and generous, and it's just, you know, the wonderful gifts that God gives women. And it's easy sometimes for men to sit back and say, I guess this is, you know, this is for women. And it's not, of course. We all need the Lord, and the Lord is for all of us. And it is encouraging to see Catholic men stepping forward and standing side by side with the great Catholic women.
Well, Ralph, as you go through doing these conferences and things, what are some of the roadblocks or stumbling blocks that you find men are encountering in trying to develop their spiritual life?
Well, I'd say discouragement, you know, and confusion, and sometimes, you know, they may be trapped in habits of sin, and doubt and just discouraged about themselves and feeling unspiritual and worldly and fleshly. And yet the truth is that the Lord has a wonderful life for them of setting them free from patterns of sin and being able to get clear teaching about the reality of sin and the wisdom of how to get free from it and how to deal with it really helps an awful lot of men. And also just really understanding that, you know, all of us have wounds that we need to be healed from, and even though you haven't had necessarily a perfect father, and, you know, who's had a perfect father, and who is a perfect father? You know, God, you know. And that healing is possible, and that, you know, God's love can really bring about a freedom and healing in us, and it isn't all up to us. You know, God's ready to help us, and we can depend on Him and draw our strength from Him. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that Catholic men really find helpful, and, you know, some of them is just knowing that it's not up just to their own willpower and strength, but they can really depend on the Lord and draw strength from Him. Another one is just getting some real practical wisdom about how to deal with sin and temptation, and it's just, you know, some really great stuff, you know, that can be shared with men about that.
I think the work that you're doing with Renewal Ministries, too, is probably some of the most powerful. And we have to thank you on behalf of all of our listeners for Sister Ann Shields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sister Ann's really great. She's one of those women that just is going after the Lord and isn't stopping, and is just continuing day by day to try to open her mind and heart to Him and then share with others what the Lord gives her. Yeah, she's a wonderful, godly woman.
And I'd encourage everyone to visit the Renewal Ministries website, because I think it's a really fine website, and the newsletter that you produce is easily accessed on the website. And I always love your messages, Ralph. They're always so encouraging.
It is encouraging, too, to kind of see what the Lord is doing all over the world. Sometimes you could kind of say, gee, things look kind of tough, but then we just had this team come back from Turkey, and just, you know, we've been patiently working in Turkey for more than 10 years with not much results, and then all of a sudden the last couple of years, just hundreds and hundreds of Armenian Orthodox are turning to the Lord in Istanbul.
Wow.
And prayer groups are proliferating around the city, and the Christians are gaining more strength and more boldness in being witnesses in, you know, this Muslim country, and so it's kind of exciting.
We are so looking forward to having you here on March 29th, especially for that day at St. Robert's.
I'm really looking forward to being there, too, because I know that there's such a tremendous Catholic community in Omaha that's really, you know, sort of held together in lots of ways by KVSS, and it's really building the community. And so I'm going to be giving a couple talks sort of that are based on my book, The Fulfillment of All Desire. In the morning, we're going to talk about the call to holiness, what it is, what it isn't, what are the resistances in us to it, and practically how we can respond, how the Lord helps us to respond. And in the afternoon, I'm going to be talking about our call as Catholic lay people to participate in the mission of Christ and what that actually means and how we can do that. And this is just a tremendous truth, you know, that's given to us by Christ through the Church, and I'm just looking forward to sharing it because I've seen it be so helpful for people. And, you know, lunch is included. It's just a wonderful day of prayer and teaching on our call to holiness and to mission as lay people, and it's sponsored by, you know, just a tremendous organization, IPF, and at St. Robert's Church, and I'm looking forward to saying hello to folks in Omaha out there. Really happy to do that.
I just want to let everyone know the day begins with Mass at 8:30. Registration will be at 9:30. Ralph then will be giving a talk at 10 o'clock. There'll be a lunch break, as Ralph alluded to. Nice, fine lunch around 11:30, and then Ralph will be back to deliver his second talk at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I can't think of a finer way to spend 6-7 hours than being at St. Robert's. And, of course, I want to encourage you to start the day with Mass at 8:30.
And once again, I just want to thank you so much for your participation with the Institute of Priestly Formation, because it's so important that, especially the men who are going through the priesthood now, I can identify with that spiritual fatherhood and become really the spiritual directors for their people.
No, it's a tremendously important service, and it's one of the great fruits of the Catholic community in Omaha.
And it has to be very encouraging too, Ralph, I think, as you know, you've been involved, just to see what I think you could only call explosive growth from You know, the inception of the program several years ago when there were a handful of seminarians to a point now where they're trying to look for places to shoehorn them in every spring and summer.
I think they've had more applicants than ever before for this coming summer, and they're trying to see if they can fit in 160 or so, which would be, the most ever, which would be a tremendous number of seminarians.
When you talk about explosive growth, I think there's nothing quite the growth that's explosive in the hearts of those young men. We watch them, mm-hmm. Ralph, when they come in, and they kind of know that they're going to be going through what they think maybe is like a retreat experience. They may grow in the spiritual life. But that deepening of prayer really transforms them.
Yeah, it really does. For many of them, it's a life-changing experience, and it really makes possible for them to persevere and go on to the priesthood with some kind of real hope and joy in their life.
The key is, though, it can happen for laity, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, again, we're so blessed and excited about having you here with us on March 29th. And as I have been saying repeatedly over and over, and the audience is probably getting, I know what she's going to say, Hungry for God, Practical Help and Personal Prayer. This is a must for those of you mm-hmm. who are grown in the spiritual life, or if you know someone you want to help to be able to launch them. But I think every home should have the fulfillment of all desire, because it's one of those that you will repeatedly go back to at those moments when you're feeling like, what's happening? What is going on here? And how do I interpret it?
I know it's available at that wonderful Catholic bookstore you have there in Omaha, and on Amazon.com and other places as well.
That's right. And if you need a cop, come up to me. I'll get you one, too.
Chris will point you in the right direction.
That's right.
Ralph, thank you so much for being generous with your time today. We are, again, as Chris pointed out, looking forward to seeing you here on the 29th of March at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish. Again, Mass begins at 8:30, 9:30 for registration. Ralph Martin will be giving two talks at 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock. And if you'll pardon the pun, we'll sandwich some lunch in between those two talks.
Oh, dear.
And we do want to encourage everyone to attend. Tickets available at Gloria Deo, the parish office at St. Robert Bellarmine, and also here at the Spirit Catholic Radio Studios at 5829 North 60th. Again, Ralph, a delight to have you with us. Before we close this morning, any final thoughts or observations you'd like to share with us?
The one thing that occurred to me is that this would also be a good opportunity to bring people that people are trying to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
People who are falling away from the church, or people who maybe could use a deeper conversion or a deeper understanding of what it really means to be a committed Catholic.
Right. And I think, too, Ralph, Chris had mentioned this on a couple of occasions before in reference to the talk. There may be those of you listening who have sponsored someone into the church you're moving through Easter. Boy, what a great way to follow through
as a sponsor. Your jobs begin at the Easter Vigil. It doesn't end. That's when you are called to help guide them.
That's a great idea.
All right. Well, Ralph, again, thanks so much. We appreciate it. And again, we look forward to seeing you here on Saturday, March 29th.
Okay, thank you too, Bruce and Chris.
You bet. God bless.